Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
I spoke on Monday to Sinn Féin TD Donnacha an Éire about what they'd do with regard to childcare, if it was left to them. Donnacha, when you hear the sector quite pleased with yesterday's budget, it's an endorsement of where the government is going, isn't it? Good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose when I talked to you on Monday, I talked about doing two things, and the government has done one of those things, and it is an important thing, and it's something that I would have worked with Eva. It's something I've been raising for years now. So, like, I mean, I'm glad that on that particular issue that the government has listened, albeit that there has to be negotiations. But what we would have proposed would have dealt with that, and there would have been a cost to this, but I think it is important that parents get some relief here, because, like, I mean, I've heard people talk about, oh, we'll come back to that next year, we'll come back to deal with cost next year. But for the people who are dealing with childcare at the minute, like, you know, that could be, you know, 10 grand in the difference that they spend this year. It actually could be, like, and I think maybe people...
No, it's sometimes very expensive. You're talking to Fiona here about the cost of childcare for her two children, and anybody else I know, it's like another mortgage in some
it
houses.
Is. Like,
How would you have proposed to bring that down, though?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, what we were proposing was an additional 86 million, and that would have, we would have taken on the wage bill. We would have taken on the wage bill, and I think that actually the way the government has gone about this, even though there is some positive moves in terms of dealing with the issues facing the sector, we would have taken on the wage bill.
You've nationalised it, in other words.
Well, not necessarily the providers and the actual businesses or the providers themselves, but the wage bill, a bit like how our education system works, that the Department of Education pays for the teachers. Similarly, we would have paid for the childcare workers. And in doing so, and in dealing with some of the other overheads, your electricity and things like that, your utilities and different costs like that, we would have been able to bring down a cost by a third this year, and a further third next year. That would have been hundreds of euros.
Where would the 86 million come from? Because we're borrowing to keep the lights on.
Well, look, I mean, we wouldn't be borrowing to fund current spending. I mean, we've been very clear about that. Borrowing is for capital spending. Borrowing is for to build and to buy.
So where would the 86 million come from?
Well, like, I mean, we've outlined in our alternative budget, and it's very detailed, how we would ensure that all of our spending commitments are adhered to, and some of those involve taxation measures.
Yeah, but I don't have that in front of me. Tell me what you would have done to get the 86.
Yeah, no, but, like, I mean, we've talked already, I suppose, on Monday about the solidarity tax, 3% on income above 140,000, and specifically on the portion of that income above that, that raises about 408 million. There are really generous tax subsidies for the kind of gold-plated pensions that very high earners receive, and we would reduce the subsidies on that, because they're all of us are subsidising those pensions, and that costs about 387 million a year. That would be that would make a significant difference. There's a tax break for those who are on incomes between 750,000 and a million. The special assignee relief program, again, that costs about 42 million. It allows millionaires to avoid spending tens of thousands of euro on taxation. So, like, I mean, these are the kind of things that I suppose, like, I mean, while they sound technical on one level, what it actually means is there are tax breaks there for higher earners. And indeed, we see the bank levy being ended for two of the banks that I think have, you know, the banks.
I'm sure I would suggest, Donnacha, that all these things are very easy until you actually have to sit and try and do it. If you were in government tomorrow, it might prove more difficult to actually do.
Listen, PJ, we're not a bit under any illusion that being in government will be challenging, but we're well up for that. We want the opportunity to do that. We believe, look, I mean, I think this budget yesterday represented a government that was tired, that had run out of ideas, had no imagination for how to tackle.
And yet here we have the childcare sector very happy.
Look, I mean, as I say, there are tens of thousands of parents out there who have no relief at all, even though they're spending 800 or 900 euro. And like, I mean, look, I'm not sure.
I'm hoping some of them will contact.
I'm not sure any of this would be happening except for the campaigning that they have been doing. Indeed, I have been picket lines with them for 4, 5 or 6 years. And look, I'm glad that pressure has told, and it has told in a few other areas as well. Yeah. And there are issues that I have been pushing that I'm glad the government has agreed to.
And good news that is being welcomed. You know, it's good to do that. But a lot of the decisions, let's face it, Donnacha, were based on supply constraints, international supply constraints. Like, how would you resolve that? Whatever Sinn Féin can do, it can't bring down the price of gas, it can't bring down the price of timber, it can't bring down the price of oil right now.
Well, we wouldn't add to the price of gas anyway, that's for sure. And that's very clear, you know, like, I mean,
have commitments as a nation, we must for carbon purposes.
Yeah, but there are many other ways of doing that, and there are many other ways that we would propose doing that. And certainly, you know, we would prefer the carrot rather than the stick, and the incentive rather than the punishment, because there are many, many people out there who don't have the option to reduce their carbon usage if they're living in a rural area, if they don't have a public transport that they can use, if they have a building that isn't suitable for retrofitting, or if they don't qualify for the grants. So there are many people out there who really, this is going to cost them, but there's not very much they can do about it. There's no place at the other end that they can make the savings. So where we are talking about,
like, there's also labor costs involved. There's a shortage of labor, huge shortage of labor.
Yeah, sure. So then it's about incentivizing. Then it's about incentivizing and prioritizing. So what?
But we haven't got enough doctors. We haven't got enough builders. How do we incentivize that?
Well, we'll deal with the building side of things first, because I think that was the area you were first talking about. Like, what we were proposing to do is to increase stamp duty on the building of offices and hotels so that it became more attractive for developers to focus instead on housing and to prioritize and to incentivize that the resources of the construction industry would be focused on our greatest need, which is housing, which is apartments and housing. And that's what we would have proposed to do. Now, there are labour shortages. We recognise that. There are things that need to be done in the long term. We've been talking for years about expanding the number and categories of apprenticeships. And I'd be meeting with the ETB later in the week to talk about apprenticeships. So that we have more workers coming on stream. But in the immediate, one of the things that can really make an immediate difference is changing the incentive so that there is more.
Like, that's risky in a global economy that's suffering a lack of labor and a lack of supply in a crippled supply chain right now. That's risky, isn't it?
I don't see it. Can you elaborate on that? I'm not sure why that is particularly risky. I think it's more about ensuring that the resources that exist within the construction industry are focused on within this state are focused on the important issues that we need to build. Like, I mean, we need to build houses. Like, there's no question about that.
But we also need to bring in jobs through businesses, and businesses need modern premises. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question of that. But, like, I mean, I think where is the most urgent need? It is in housing. And that is where we are focused very clearly. And I suppose the other thing in terms of housing that didn't happen in this budget, and it's really incredible. And to be honest, I had lots of people saying it to me yesterday. Like, I mean, why don't they have a tax relief for renters? The renters are, like, I mean, they're assisting the landlords. And look, there's lots of good landlords out there and they play an important role. But they are getting some assistance here. But tenants are not, even though they could be paying backbreaking rents. It's impossible to save for a deposit.
But if we have more housing stock, then rent will go down of itself.
Well, yes, I mean, that's what we've been saying for a decade now, to be honest, PJ.
Yeah, exactly. And we seem to have more stock coming.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I don't believe it's
$4 billion on housing?
Mm. Well, look, I mean, it looks like it's only going to be about, in reality, in terms of what's actually affordable, less than about 2,000 affordable units. Even by their own account, it's only about 6, whereas we believed it needed to be about 10. But really, like, I mean, what they're talking about, what's actually truly affordable is less than 2. A lot of it is going to be at effectively market rates. And if you can't afford market rates, you're not going to be able to get those affordable units. Really, we needed to be talking about 20,000 social and affordable units rather than the 12 that the government is talking about. That's what all the organisations on the ground are telling us. That's what we're basing our numbers on. Mm. The information that we're getting from Simon and all these organisations, that's what we believe we need. But in the meantime, as well as building those, and I've identified to you, PJ, how we would reallocate resources to ensure that it's focused on building houses for people to live in. And some of that is about bringing back into use derelict houses, and we've produced policies on that and derelict buildings, which there's a lot of in the city. But in the meantime, our renters need assistance, and they need immediately, and they keep being ignored, PJ.
Well, that is a big hole in this budget, and anybody would acknowledge that, I think, Donegh, to be fair, that there's very little in this, nothing in fact, for people who are trying to pay a crippling rent and still feed a family and still run a car and still do all those things. Donegh Colíre, Sinn Féin, frontbench spokesman on education, and Cork South Central TD. Thank you.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.